So what if you can't touch the sky? It doesn't mean you shouldn't try. Do you wanna fly?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Jibber Jabber Podcast, where this week again we continue with our special episodes of the High Times miniseries, where we chat to the cast of the BAFTA award-winning TV series High Times. And this week we are speaking to John Morrison. He played Eddie in the series, and he's actually quite a big Scottish actor, so it's going to be really cool chatting with him. We've got that coming up. Please do remember to subscribe and follow our podcast on social media and on Podbean. You can follow us on Podbean, subscribe, and that'll, you know, it'll notify you every time that we have a new episode available, so you don't have to go searching or wonder when the next one's coming out. In other news, we have just agreed another year with Podbean, so you'll find us exactly where you've been finding us for the previous year. Exciting, right? So John Morrison was a brilliant laugh. He's got some funny stories, but didn't he listen to me talking about it? Let's get on with the episode.
And here we are with one of the few guys that got the better of Ray Winston on the screen. How are we doing, John Morrison?
Whoa! Great introduction, mate. Thank you very much.
But you deserve it. You deserve it. And also, that was an epic mullet. It's fantastic. Was that real? I have to ask, was it real?
I'm afraid I have to say yes.
Yes! Oh, you yes, made my dreams come true.
Yeah, I've near enough got one at the moment. Yeah, well, not quite, but
it's the COVID cut. I've got one myself. This is completely homemade. I would never choose this, but it was one of the ones that I tried to fade it, and it just got higher and higher to the point where I was like, oh fuck it, I'm going to need to just go with the kind of driveway sandblaster guy look.
Unfortunately, I look like fucking cat weasel at the minute. You know. Have you got any video of me at the minute, or you know, I've got a hairy face?
Nah, I mean, we can only just see your name.
No video. I'd love to see you though. I'd love to see what you're like these days. I mean, I've seen you in Vera, but I'd love to see what you like during the lockdown, because you've seen me. And if you look at Kevin, take your hat off just for a second.
We've all got the COVID cut.
Okay. We've all I've went the other way, guys.
You're everywhere, you know. That's all right. It's all good. But we've all been guilty of it at some point. So, how's the whole lockdown situation been treating you anyway?
Probably the same as everybody else, you know. You got to get on with it, unfortunately. Yeah. Obviously, it's shattered everybody in the industry, music industry. Everything's been wrecked, obviously. But
yeah,
it's going to be a process putting it back together again.
Yeah. Do you know, it's fun. It's a funny thing. Yeah, you hear about it on the news all the time about it's affecting retail, it's affecting manufacturing. And that the news anchors who are sitting on TV don't mention how it's affecting other people on TV. And I don't understand that. It's such a silly, it's like an oversight. They don't even mention the entertainment industry, really.
I know.
Sorry, kind of rubbing salt in a fucking wound there.
So and so sorry. Say all of us, you know what I mean?
I mean, for us, the lockdown period has given us an opportunity to do more, because a lot of the actors that we'd usually be out working have sure. spare time. So we've actually managed to put together the cast to High Times and do an amazing podcast series with it, right?
Yeah, and yeah, it's a big shout. Time at the moment, you know?
Exactly. And it's a huge shout out to Stephen for linking us up with you guys, which is, for us, it's just unbelievable. We're huge fans of the show.
That's great, you know, boys. That's really
cool. I mean, for a show that came out so long ago as well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's still accessible, but you really need to go and look for it. Which is what we done after we met Stephen McCall, and we kind of went back, watched High Times, and it's something we kind of shake. You know, we got the bug.
That's true. We just keep watching it over and over again. It's doing our wife's tits in, to be honest.
Jersey's right.
Exactly. So how did you kind of get involved with the High Times project then? Where did it begin for you with the High Times series?
Well, it would have been Eric, the producer, actually called me up. I just finished my contract on River City, kind of like the day before, basically.
Yeah.
And Eric Coulthard phoned me up and said, "John, I believe
your contract
on the BBC anymore." I said, "Yeah, well, that's quite right, Eric." And he said, "Well, I have this wonderful project and this fantastic writer called John Rooney. Mm-hmm. And there's a part called Eddie in it, and would I like to do it?" So he basically kind of offered me over the phone before he spread it or anything, you know. Mm-hmm. And then they got the script to me, and Carlin got in touch, and I came up and met everybody, and that was basically it. Yeah. I was London based at the time during all this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Wow.
So what was your first impression of the script when you seen it?
Well, it made me laugh out loud, you know what I mean? So, end of, really, you know.
Yeah.
And just John's whole take on it was quite, I thought, quite brilliant at the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was easy reading, you know.
It really is. We got sent by John a script that was never made into a TV episode, and it's basically the script.
Is it the one where they go to Amsterdam?
Yes, yep, have you read that?
Oh, it's a belter, isn't it?
Oh, mate. And when you said about laughing out loud, like, I read that laughing out loud. Unbelievable.
Well, I was lying in bed reading it as well, and I woke my wife up just giggling. And she's like, "What are you laughing at?" I said, "I'm laughing at somebody suggesting that when they take this guy's gimp mask off, his nose might be the shape of a dick." And she's like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "I'll tell you tomorrow."
Yeah, I mean, that episode would have been just excellent, you know.
Well,
I don't actually know what happened with the whole thing overall, with the politics behind it, etc. Because, as I said, I was London based. I was living in London. I didn't live in Glasgow, so I wasn't kind of heavily involved with the production side of it.
Mm-hmm.
But after going to the time and trouble to actually put the whole thing together, make an excellent first series with a brilliant cast, have it go down a storm, then make another one, and then sit in it for 4 years.
I still don't know.
I would like somebody to give me an answer as to why that actually all happened, you know?
Yeah.
Because it killed the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, that's one of our goals here, is to find out what the fuck happened, because it's really, it irks us a wee bit, and we weren't even involved in it. Like, what actually happened here? It's nuts. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was such a shame, because after creating such a good thing, I mean, there was an incredibly good young cast of actors in there, by the way.
Including yourself, of course.
Actors. And, well, everybody just lost their jobs, you know?
Yeah.
Why create something that's that good and then shelve it, you know?
Yeah.
Disturbing, I mean, still.
It makes no sense, really, if you've got a goose that's going to lay a golden egg, to put the goose in the cupboard and wait till it dies, right?
Yeah, that's kind of like it. Yeah, that's a fair analogy, mate. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is one thing you're going to realise.
Somebody must have a golden egg somewhere. Do you know what I mean?
Kevin loves metaphors and analogies. This is going to be full of them. We managed it with Judith last night. If it was a drinking game with analogies, I would have fell off this fucking stool, honestly. But let's see how far we can go with it tonight. So, but it's one of our aims with this whole thing, is to try possibly to find out what actually happened. It is unfortunate. I couldn't imagine what it felt like for you guys to be working on something, like you said, that was so well kind of well received. It got a BAFTA, you know.
Well,
get a BAFTA easily.
You know what you're supposed to do, you know. I mean, the cast and the writing and everything, none of us done anything wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, as far as we're concerned, Everybody put a lot of work into that, by the way.
Yeah.
All the actors were incredibly committed all the way through. All the actors that came in and out, they were just absolutely brilliant, you know?
Yeah.
Why you throw that away, I don't know, you know? Baffling, you know?
Is that kind of...
Yeah,
if we get... A young talent as well. It was just kind of... I don't know. Like some sort of school exercise they decided to drop or something, you know? Yeah. I've got no idea. Mm-hmm. Shame. It also dropped John Rooney completely out of the picture as well.
Yeah, which
it's
is a...
just, you know...
that itself is a bit of a travesty.
You know, John had... They could have done 5 series of that and John would still be coming up with stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. That's the point about it. And yeah. They decided, no. But they dropped it in a terrible way. Mm. I mean, wait 4 years to show the episode... Mm. But, you know, John's jokes would be 4 years old by then. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
it was absolutely stupid. They should have. But there you go. I'd like to know as well, boys.
There seems to be a lot of kind of frustration floating in the air just now. I can feel it. I can feel it in my shoulders as well. It's just what actually happened. And like I said, we are.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, the signal went really funny. Are you still there, John?
Yeah, it's just such a production. Still here, yes. Hello.
Can you hear me all right? Yeah? It sounds like a piano.
I can hear you. A piano?
Aye, your signal went, I don't know if it sounds the same on your end. Does that sound like...
No, that might have been me just drinking brandy, mate.
Yeah, we were told by all the other cast members... What an incredible musician you are. And there you go. Even makes a song drinking a bit of brandy.
Yeah, that's right. We were speaking to Paul McCall yesterday and he was saying it was funny. He said, doing that scene with you when he was pretending to show you how to play a chord and he could tell just by looking that you knew what you were doing. Yeah. And he's like, I spotted that. Said you had a long fingernail and just the way you had your fingers on the strings, like, he knows what he's doing.
I played guitar since I was a kid, so you know.
Absolutely.
It's my solace, basically. I just like playing it, it's great to do.
Absolutely.
What's your favourite style of playing?
Loud.
Yeah. You were doing some work with an AC/DC kind of band, is that right?
I've done AC/DC things. I worked with a band with Chris Glenn in The Outfit.
That's right, yeah.
And we've done some AC/DC songs and Michael Schenker songs and
And
I love Alex Harvey, Sensational Alex Harvey songs.
Uh-huh.
Chris Glenn was a bass player in the Sad band. His band's out, but I played with them.
The Schenker brothers, are you big fans?
Yeah, I know Michael very well, you know.
Wow.
Since 2007, 2008, something like that.
Oh, unbelievable.
Nice. When he came over to put the Schenker group together again.
With
Ted McKenna, the late Ted McKenna, and Chris Glenn, who were his original bass and drum players, about 83.
And his brother Rudolph
Ed was in. McKenna actually replaced Cozy Powell, the original drummer with Chris Glenn and Michael Schenker in the original Schenker group.
I think Cozy Powell, did he play with Ozzy at one point, didn't he?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Crazy.
Just Ozzy.
Just Ozzy. Mad. I mean, you got to keep up with those lads, so you must be good on the strings, like.
They're good. Listen, they're good boys, you know. I mean, they're all really good musicians, you know.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. The Scorpions.
Yeah. Well, you have your game, you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
Remember any? You know.
I can remember.
Yeah.
Kevin's he's the music guy out of the two of us. I'm a movie and TV guy. Kev is movie, TV, and music. So he's this is you may think I'm taking a wee bit of a back seat here, but I'm just sitting, just admiring.
No, not at all.
No worries.
You know the type of guy that jumps into a conversation and goes, yeah.
Oh no!
Really?
So when you agreed to do the part of Eddie, then, so did you bring elements of your real life or even elements of your past characters that you'd played in different TV shows, movies, to kind of create Eddie, or was it just as simple as John had written it and you were like, right, I can already see Eddie, and it was almost like a walk in the park? How did you find building Eddie the character?
Well, to begin with, I don't often get asked to do sort of comedic things.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I enjoyed the idea of this, and the character that John creates is a really inept burglar, you know what I mean? I'm getting 18 months and 2 years and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And when the character comes into it, to the tower block at the beginning, he's just got out of the barrel, you know?
That's right.
So it was a good place to start, you know?
Yeah. I mean, John's writing is
good. And just to put the character together, wasn't it too difficult, you know? Mm-hmm. And Alison, who, you know, we've worked before, we've known each other for years, you know, that was just a doddle, you know. So it was a very easy transition, you know what I mean? Anything I brought myself to it, probably my slob side, I suppose. You know, lying a bit on the sofa with, you know, the remote on top of my belly with a can in my hand or something.
What was that he was watching, though, by the way? See when Jimmy comes to the door, right, to play that song for Claire, what the hell is Eddie watching? Like, it's some sort of weird cartoon thing. And he's actually sitting there engrossed in it. I'm like, that's not something you would watch. You know what I mean?
I just zombied it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
The annoying thing is, before this episode, I actually remember kind of watching that scene and knowing what that was, and I forgot. We'll discuss it in the next episode. I'll tell you what it was, because I remember. I'll watch it again and I'll tell you what it was, because I remember recognizing it.
Well, you guys have seen it a lot more recently than me, you know what I mean?
We keep hearing that, AJ Mac.
yeah, we have. John, it is available. It's on the STV player. Get it on there.
Right. The episode that I thought was really funny was the one with the Jehovah's.
Brilliant.
The boys get them stoned. They get the Jehovah's. And they end up being dodgy burglars anyway.
You threaten to set about them bare-ass naked with it.
I thought that was a great episode. Really
that line you said, it's like a couple of scumbags. At least when I was doing it, I was fucking honest. What a brilliant line. You know, the way you said it, you could have wrote it. You know, you felt it. And it was, I don't know if it was so funny, but it's one of these, kind of jokes that I'd probably miss a lot of people. I missed a few jokes that I seen the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh time I watched it. that was a great line. I take it there was a bit of
John was writing them all the time, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was just an absolute pleasure. You know, it was a doddle.
Yeah.
Another one of my moments that I loved was when Paddy had put his shoes in the bread bin, and she came in and you're like, oh, what were they, loafers? Right, that was funny. Right. what was even funnier was it was when Alison, she threw them out, she's like, that's no funny, then walks away smirking, then you're having a wee chuckle. And it's one of these moments that it feels so real, you know, when somebody's trying to convince themselves that something's not funny when it really fucking is.
It was great for all the wee moments, you know what I mean, that you probably do second time round, you probably catch them more, etc. They were all well crafted, to be quite honest, you know. And wee Davey, who was directing, he was great, you know, because Dave's an actor anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, behind the camera, you know. And it was good to have his input, obviously, as an actor as well, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we have been in contact with Davey, and we are going to speak to him at some point during this this adventure that we seem to be on now. That's what it's turned into. I mean, honestly, since Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every night we've spoken to somebody for High Times, and every morning we text each other like, "What just happened?"
hey, good up, boys.
Yeah, absolutely loving it. Yeah. So Alison Peebles, you said that you'd worked with her before, you kind of knew each other. For me, it felt like that I was seeing a couple that have been married for years and are just trying to, you know, stop each other from killing each other. and it was pulled off perfectly. I take it you and her have that kind of relationship to kind of bring that to the screen.
It was an absolute piece of pish.
A great Scottish expression.
Model, you know? I've worked with Alice. It was dead easy for us, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
You know? It's down to the writing. Mm-hmm. It all comes back to the writing, you know, and the characters that's been created, you know.
And saying that, if you don't have the right people in the, I mean, you can have some great writing in the wrong people and it just goes tits up, but it's something that High Times definitely did not suffer from. Mm-hmm. It's everybody in it, it just felt like they should have been there. And
the cast in it was great, you know.
Yeah.
As I said earlier, like everyone that the guesting that came in on it were always brilliant, you know.
Do you have any, like, kind of looking back on it, I know it's been a while, but can you remember any kind of particular days or kind of times on the set where, I don't know, like you just couldn't get through a scene without laughing, or something just kept going wrong, or you know these funny wee anecdotes that you get?
Oh my god.
Here we go.
Probably hundreds, do you know what I mean? Like trying to think of it in specifics. Caught me a bit off guard.
You're not the first that said that.
Loads of daft things going on with your day and stuff, you know. trying not to be funny, etc. which I had to do most of the time because I wasn't funny as a character anyway. So
there was definitely funny undertones to Eddie. There was a part where, which is a really funny scene, where because Eddie's dyslexic, which we kind of figure that out based on how he's insulted by his wife, and it's when she says, it's like, you're like, I carved our names into that tree, and she's like, you spelt my name wrong. You said Eddie loves Alky. the bouncing that's back genius. And forth between absolutely. The both of you, I think that's where the humour is for those two characters. It's within that marriage kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly. But I mean, again, you know, John, it's starting the writing, etc. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all very clever. And Alice and myself gelled with it straight away.
How did you feel when you met Judith and you knew she was going to play Claire? Did you instantly? She describes you guys as you were a little family. Is that pretty much how you felt as well? She calls you her show mum and dad.
Bless her.
She also sends her love.
Obviously send my love back to Judith as well.
Absolutely.
You know? She's right. We were a wee family. You know, it's. Everybody was very committed to it, you know. And we were all tight, and we were all on the same. The block, the tower block's no longer there.
That's right.
Gone.
I think it was in the process of being knocked down when you were filming it, or they were emptying it to knock it down.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was empty. We just used one floor that everyone sort of stayed on, sort of thing. It was derelict, so it was like work. It was a bit like working in an old mausoleum, you know, made to look like, you know, what it was supposed to be.
I don't know if you remember this as well, but Judith was telling us last night that there was a story or a tale going about that one of the flats on that landing, that there'd been a bit of a tragic incident. Do you remember what that was, and if you remember something like that getting mentioned at the time?
I certainly do. And I don't really actually want to say what it is.
That's all right. Judith told us.
It may bring up terrible memories for the people involved at the time. Well, I know.
Okay, edit this out, Kevin.
Judith probably knows and doesn't want to say either, you know?
She did mention there was a kind of atmosphere on that side of the building. And
well, it was odd when we found out what had actually happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Didn't know straight away. This was that came out later.
We were filming, but yeah, we were into filming before we actually found out someone that actually said what it was, you know. I don't know, you know, if it was common knowledge at the time, they came up and told us, you know, so.
Yeah. Unpleasant is.
I suppose you guys would have had each other, though, to kind of bring the spirits back up, you know, when he's a filming. And
well, yeah, well, you have to. You don't have a choice. We did notice odd things.
Yeah.
When you're filming it in the hallways and in the lift shafts and in the stairwells and blah, blah, stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know one of the flats that we were using was where it's, what, you know. But anyway, yeah, it was a wee bit disturbing at the time, you know. But
yeah, I'll not dwell on that too much. It's a happy show. It's like it's a nice.
Well, I would tell you, but I would hate to upset somebody all these years later. You know?
No, not at all. That's totally understandable. I personally, like, I was thinking about the fact that the building was getting emptied. You guys were using it to film this show, and it was inevitable that the block of flats was going to get torn down. Obviously, you got another season, and then it was torn down subsequently. But do you remember when it was taken down, or how you felt about it? Do you remember seeing it? I don't know, maybe on the internet or in the news or something. Going, oh shit, that was where High Times was filmed. You know.
Well, actually, no. I would still have been London based then as well, I would think.
Right. Oh well.
I didn't have a buildings get torn down all the time, didn't it? You know,
it's almost
gone. It's probably a good thing.
It's kind of bittersweet. I mean, I can't imagine it's the best way to live. But on the other hand, it's like these buildings haven't been up that long, and then people make a life in them, and then they just get pulled away from them as well. It's not nice. But at least we got High Times out of it.
Yeah. So what? What would a normal day filming for you look like on High Times? Would you have to be there mega early and kind of walk us through what that was for you guys? Would you go meet with the producers, maybe go over a couple of lines and then head to your scene, or was there a certain way that you guys kind of shot that?
We'd be more or less rehearse, record, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're called, if it's a normal day, if it's a full day's work, you'll be there at 7 on set for maybe 7:30 to 8 o'clock, depending on what your makeup, etc., whatever it is. We'd then sit and do a line run on set, do rough positioning of what we're going to actually shoot. Rehearse a couple and shoot.
Yeah.
That's it.
Good process. No, it's a good process. It's, you know, you're rehearsing on the set and et cetera, et cetera. So it's basically what most people do these days.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the cast we've spoken to said how you guys done table reads and you've done rehearsals before you started filming, and how that actually was good because you were all having fits of laughter and it had kind of really gelled the team together before filming had begun, and that made a big difference. Would you agree with that?
Do you know what? I don't remember that. Because I think
it's going to happen.
London. I'm not sure that I was in Glasgow for that, to be quite honest.
Right, I see.
I came up to London, I think, a bit later on in the whole thing. Unless I'm talking absolute pish and I was there and people got photos of me and stuff. Yeah, no, I remember I just remember the rehearsal record. You know, I'm not really likely to remember any rehearsal, pre-rehearsal process these days that was done 20 years ago.
Well, see, that's it. I mean,
it's like read-throughs and stuff like that. You know, you do loads and loads and loads of them, but you don't remember them, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, I might have been there.
I suppose it's like
ask me another.
It's like asking one of us something from our boring jobs 15 years ago. Oh, do you remember this customer's name that phoned you and complained about having no signal?
Yeah, she was a right bitch. I do recall her.
Oh, her, the bitch. Oh.
Agnes was her name.
So I'm sure her name was Agnes Bitch.
Her with a gammy leg. I thought her name was Eileen based on how fucking lopsided she walked.
Eileen. Oh my God, you just went Eileen.
Oh, hold on.
Come on.
Shocking. Shocking, Kevin. I'm disgusted with you.
It's a good joke.
Obviously, you've been acting for quite a while. I don't want to sound bad, but quite a while now. You've been kind of on the scene, whether it be in TV and film and plays.
I started TV when I was 15.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
No, me.
I won't tell you what I started when I was 15. So yeah, that's gone back a while.
Oh, aye, sure is.
Aye. I have to apologise. One of my only sources. You're not easy to find out information on, John. I'm going to say that now. I don't know if you keep your cards close to your chest. I had to get it from Wikipedia, unfortunately. They're probably the most unreliable source on earth. But did you work with Billy Connolly at one point on a play or something? Or was it something?
I've done two films with Billy.
Right, go ahead.
Well, we're both Peter McDougall films. Right. Just Another Saturday and The Elephant's Graveyard.
Just Another Saturday, that was the sectarianism thing.
Sorry?
That was the anti-sectarianism stuff.
Yeah, it all takes place in the day of the Orange Walk.
Right, right. It's something, I mean, this is just me personally. I don't even know how Kevin feels about it. I don't know how you feel about it, but I just think when I see the Orange Walk, I just go, really? Is that still happening? it's one of these things that just you catch it at the corner of your eye and you're like, okay, there was a time.
I tell you what, you should watch Just Another Saturday again.
I've never seen
Peter McDougall's film is about all that.
Yeah, so,
you know, it's about the way Peter tackles it in a really very subtle way that hadn't actually been done before because he was honest. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
The sectarian thing is just nonsense.
I'm glad you're on the same page there.
Yes.
After I spoke, there was a deadly silence. I was like, oh, fuck.
I'll bring the wrath of the Masons on you.
he'll get his mullet back out and give you a beating like he did with Winston.
Put on that denim jacket and I'll take the beating.
I left Scotland when I was 17.
Right.
And I was quite glad I did, to be quite honest. I think I was quite lucky at my age to escape.
Were you Glasgow born and bred, or?
Yeah, I was born in Cathcart.
Cathcart, right.
And dragged up in East Kilbride. UK, okay.
I'm not too far for East Kilbride, but I'm down in Blackwood, just between Lark Hall and West Mahago. I'm down.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
not too far away. It's actually nice here. It's I love living here. Honestly, it's so quiet. There's the noisiest thing you'll ever hear is apart from my dickhead neighbour's Subaru Impreza. Apart from that, is like farm fucking equipment. It's quite a humbling sound. It's like that's the life. Life of a farmer.
Listen, you're pretty lucky, mate. That's that sounds the. You know what I mean?
I'm lucky. There's if I go in my back garden, there's nothing but it's just fields and wind farms.
Back garden is it?
I'm one of the posh ones, man. Yeah, that's me.
Now, I was brought up in East Kilbride, basically.
Right.
Which is a new town, you know, obviously, as you know.
Yeah.
But I was quite lucky to escape.
Funnily enough, Kevin, did you not mention East Kilbride to me the other day? Did you not see you bumped into somebody in East Kilbride?
No.
Was it not East Kilbride?
Pinball from...
Hi.
From Sweet 16.
Pinball. And he was wearing a Celtic top that said pinball on it.
I think it was a Rangers top. I think it was
sorry,
a Rangers
sorry,
top.
Rangers. Was it, yeah, sorry.
It would be. That's William, innit?
Yeah, that's the fella.
Yeah. Hi. So High Times had won a BAFTA. You were there that night. We've heard stories. do you recall your night at the BAFTAs?
He's laughing.
Fuck, man. I don't fucking remember none. I remember shouting. I can't remember anything. Standing or anything. No, I don't know.
I think Ewan McGregor was up for an award that night, weren't he?
I'm sorry?
I think Ewan McGregor was up for an award that night. Didn't show. Ewan,
I'd probably have assaulted him as well.
We heard you with a right laugh.
Listen, it's why you can't... I have to keep it away, you know. It's don't get invited to things now, you know.
Damn. So how was that feeling anyway as a team? Because like you said before, the full cast, everybody was in, and the heart was there. So when the show won that BAFTA for you, it must have been like, right, this is a team, you know, it's a team BAFTA. How did that feel for you? And even what was it like being around the gang when you knew you won the BAFTA?
Well, it was brilliant. I mean, we all thought, oh, this is going to go for 5 series. No, seriously, after the first one. Right, like, oh, we're going to go for 5.
Yeah.
And a BAFTA with the first one, you fucking should go for fucking
absolutely.
5.
Especially when it's the first BAFTA STV had for 50 years.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah, exactly. Now, nobody... Okay, boys, this is where you just have to get your fucking investigation hats on.
I'm taking notes.
Well, you know. It's a difficult one to say because it was just such a waste of Scottish talent.
Yeah.
At the time, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Young Stephen McCall and Paul, his brother, you know, and Paul McCaffrey, everybody in it were really, really good.
Yeah.
100%. And really good to go on with. I mean, Big Stevie was a DJ. Was Dana's DJ in at the time.
He does still DJ.
Oh, fuck it, I know he does. Right, yeah.
The superstar DJ.
Aye, but he had when we were filming, he used to have a residency.
Right.
On a Friday. Mm-hmm. Fuck's sake, I can't remember what it is now. You'll fucking kill me.
He will be listening.
No, we used to go down there all the time and get pissed and whatever, you know what I mean? So, we used to hang out and stuff, you know what I mean? It was
yeah.
Aye, we were I had pretty good. I don't know why people bothered putting it together to fucking destroy it, you know.
Yeah, it makes no sense to really, if you've got something like that that's, you know, winning you an award for the first time in 50 years, the smart thing, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not in that industry really, but if something's good, you use it, right?
Yeah.
Well, you'd think so, you know. That's generally the way things happen, you know.
There has to be some sort of politics involved for you to cut your own arm off when that's the one that's bringing you in all the, you know, the award.
Well, if it brings you your first accolade in 50 years mm-hmm. and you shelve it, so they must have some mad idea, oh, this is a treasure we've got now, or some fucking absurd idea of whatever, you know?
Yeah, bury it for 15 years till someone finds it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
You know?
You know,
I think it's what you just said there about a waste of Scottish talent. You would think of totally. any channel that didn't want to waste Scottish talent should have been Scottish television.
Yeah, they're the last people that should be doing that. I mean, come up with a gem and put it on a fucking shelf.
That makes no
brilliant
sense.
Plan in that, isn't it?
I mean, no sense.
Oh, fucking hell, we thought that one out, didn't we? Fuck's sake. Yeah.
No, it's something that, like, we spoke about this last night with Judith as well. It's something that, as new fans, we are new fans to the show. We've only just seen it in the last, I mean, we first interviewed Stephen in March, I think it was. And after interviewing him, we both watched High Times. And we're like, what the fuck? How did we miss this, first of all?
March this year.
March this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
March this year. And you're laughing.
Oh, well. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. But I feel like there's no way. Like, but when that was on TV, I'd have been. I mean, I'm 35 now, so I'd have been about 20 when it was on. So target audience, really. And I had no idea it was even around. It was given a shitty time slot on a shitty night for no good reason. It should have been prime time. This should have been, you know, 9:30, 10:00 on a Friday night in that kind of space. Do you have any kind of any guess to yourself as to why it was given such a kind of, you know, almost like kind of sweeping it under the carpet, but just leaving it poking out a wee bit? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, now who's Mr. Metaphor?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, guys. I wish I knew, to be quite honest.
We will get answers for you, John.
Well, it's kind of what it's well, no, for me, for everybody.
Yeah.
What, as I said before, the young talent in that show was actually awesome, and they just binned it all.
Yeah.
That, I have no idea, you know.
Yeah. I mean, do you ever, like, I mean, your career has moved on, obviously, since High Times. Do you ever, maybe within the last however long, have you ever stopped and pondered to yourself what your character, like Eddie and Alice, would be up to now if it was still a regular ongoing show? That means no, right?
It does indeed. It means it means you need to phone John Rooney up.
Nice.
John Rooney, I'm sure, could write a series now, everybody 20 years later.
Oh, yeah. I believe that.
Probably write one in a fucking instant. Mm-hmm. You just have to fucking commission him to do it.
We might have something to speak to you about once we stop recording, John.
Okay.
You know, we've spoken to John, and like he said himself, he felt that the show, it ended too early. It was handled by the wrong people. It was made for the wrong people, and that he himself was never finished. There is definitely unfinished business with High Times and John Rooney. That's a fact.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, mate. Mm-hmm. Everything John says is absolutely right. It's fucking travesty what they've done to John, really.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
And you mentioned, just in a brief conversation I had with you the other day, you mentioned your fondness for Carolyn Kidd. Can you elaborate on your kind of experience of working with Carolyn?
Oh, Carolyn, it's one of the best producers I've worked with, for sure. Mm-hmm. Everything, nothing was a problem with Carolyn at all. The scripts, she was absolutely brilliant to work with. I just did not have a problem at all. She was great in every department, which made life a lot easier on the set for everyone. And that's what it's all about. And it's your producer that will do that. Make the whole environment workable for you.
Wow.
She was excellent at doing that. And there's somebody else that didn't get to do more of it, you know.
Do you think that she has unfinished business with High Times, Carolyn Kidd?
I'm sure she does. It's great. There's a great big question mark over all of that, really, for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stephen, well, you've spoken to Stephen, obviously. You know what I mean? That was a big thing for Stephen.
Absolutely.
That was a huge... Ba-bum, ba-bum, and Paul McCarthy. I mean, they were... You know, frustrating, mate. It really is, because it's a pity they didn't get the chance.
They have done extremely well afterwards. Their body.
Indeed, they have. But as a platform, mm-hmm. that was just taken away from under their feet.
Yeah,
way too early.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Well, my opinion anyway, you know, and for John as well. It could have been quite a long-running thing, to be quite honest.
Yeah, and even if it did get to the point where it's like, right, High Times is done, had it gone out on the way it should have, the way that John would have taken it off air, then he could have moved on to even... Just think of all the John Rooney projects that had he not had a bad taste in his mouth, all the John Rooney projects that could be... up there with Still Game, like High Times itself stands up against like Chewing the Fat, Still Game, all the stuff that's Scottish, you know?
It's very much in the genre, you know what I mean? But John didn't really get a shake of the stick at all there, you know? Two series, you know?
That's the
one released 4 years after the first one. And, it's just wrong.
Yeah.
Whoever knows they're wrong, you know, should maybe just stand up or own up or something like that, you know.
We live in a world now, unfortunately, where
nobody will do that.
Nobody's accountable, right?
Shaker, of course, nobody will ever do that.
Yeah.
I think you'd have more chance of getting somebody to do that that has nothing to lose, somebody that's not in the industry anymore. But if these people might still be in the industry, or... You're never going to get that admission of guilt, and it is guilt they should feel about that show, because there's moments in that show like you said earlier on, like when you read the script, there's moments that made you laugh out loud. There's also moments that almost make you cry, and you know there is one moment that got me, and it did make me shed a tear, and it was you that did it. Your dick.
Oh, fuck you. Sorry, man. Fuck you.
Yeah, it was, oh, that's all right, I forgive you. It was the moment where you broke down with Paddy, when he was, you'd had enough, and you were like, oh, for fuck's sake, Dad, and you just broke into tears. And like, I'm lucky enough not to have experienced that, like the dementia thing with my parents yet. It might happen, but I did see it with my gran, and it's fucking horrible. My brother probably seen it worse than I did, because she completely forgot who he was, like, and it never came back. There wasn't even a moment. There was no. Oh, aye, that's
so recognition. It's an awful illness, mate.
Just gone.
Unfortunately, so many of us have got to look forward to it. Unfortunately.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that, again, is one of the beautiful things about John's writing, is the fact that, yeah, it's funny, it's a TV show that doesn't take itself too seriously, but those elements of real life hit you, and they come at you where you don't expect it as well, right?
Oh, come on, yeah, big style. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really John's speciality, to be quite honest.
Absolutely agree.
He put tear-jerking moments.
There was a few.
Stoned guys making you laugh your tits off.
right. Kind of speaking of that.
Way, you know?
Yeah. Who, aside from like when you watched it back, aside from your characters, what were your like favourite moments of the show, and who was your favourite character aside from Eddie?
Oh, dear God.
I feel like we should have a countdown clock in the background here.
My favourite character. That's really difficult, you know?
Yeah.
It's a really hard one, you know?
Do you know why? Because there was no star of the show. There was no star. It was a...
No, we were all great pals, you know?
Ensemble.
Yep. I mean, probably... Jude.
Yeah.
Was absolutely great, you know. She was brilliant. The family thing, you know, that we, the daughter and her and Paul and all of that. And, no, she was brilliant. Yeah, she was absolutely brilliant. Yeah. She can sing as well, Jude.
Yeah, know? Absolutely. An amazing jazz singer. And, you know, we were speaking there just yesterday, and one thing I said to her was like, wow, your voice has changed. Like, you don't sound like Claire. And she's like, no, this is how I've always sounded. Claire doesn't sound like me. Right? She's like, this is just me. I was like, wow. But her real-life voice is so different from Claire. You wouldn't even have thought it.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, it's funny how you, like, as an outsider just kind of watching the show, you get your preconceptions of what people are going to sound like and be like in real life. And other than Judith's hair now, she's nothing like Claire. Yeah. Although she does have a little girl, and she speaks very fondly of her. Mm-hmm. honestly, the show itself, it's kind of given us a reminder of what TV could be like before what's the right expression? Before they had to be too careful about the stuff.
PC took over.
100%.
Yeah.
There's nothing really that bad in it, except I would say maybe the kind of blossoming relationship between Rab and Tracy is a wee bit uncomfortable these days, but it's not that bad, really. If you look at it, nothing happens. Nothing actually happens.
At least until she's old enough.
Yeah, until she's old enough. And Rab's sitting there going, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And it really is timeless. Actually, who was it? Somebody said to me, it was Paul. We spoke to Paul McColl on Monday. Was it Monday? Tuesday, we spoke to Paul. And he actually asked us, he's like, when you were watching it, do you think anything had dated the show? And it made it look dated. I was like, other than the mobile phones and your hair, no.
Yeah, there you go.
He didn't take too kindly to the hair comment. He fucking loved that hair. I had no idea. I felt like a right arsehole after that.
I think because recently Paul's he's kind of let his beard grow, he's gone a bit grey, right? And I understand now why he got a bit pissy, and it's because I even checked that he's basically shared one of his recent projects that he's working on, where he's doing like a sex call with someone, and someone wrote in the comments he's way too old for her, and she looks older than him, right? And he commented, he was like, fuck's sake. So I think he's getting it for all ends right now. So show him some love, man. He still looks beautiful.
You made me feel like more than an arsehole, Kev. Thanks. I didn't even know that.
Fuck are taking jabs at him left, right, and centre, man.
But he was lovely to speak. Again, he sends his best, John.
Absolutely.
That's, we're passing on these messages of love, and it would just be nice to have you all together, just so you could just fucking do it yourselves.
Hey, give it time.
That sounded weird, but never mind.
Speaking of that, do you actually?
I know. I think you guys are trying to maybe try and sort of a screening of some sort, is that right?
Yeah, that's actually, it's already pretty much in the works. It's something that can definitely happen. All we need is for you guys to agree that that's going to happen. I mean, everything else is kind of all sorted from that end.
And for an unspoken
gentleman, I'm in, no problem at all.
Super. Unbelievable.
Anyway, just give us a shout, whatever.
Absolutely. When was the last time, and who was the most recent person from the cast that you maybe spent a bit of time with or even just had a phone call with?
Probably John.
John, yeah.
John Rooney, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I was going to say, there's three Johns in this show. We need to narrow it down.
I kept in touch with John for quite a while. I've been working in Newcastle, basically, for the last 10 years.
Oh, Vera. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, exactly on that.
Oh, my mother-in-law says hi, by the way. I had to
you have to be nice. You said this wasn't a family show. So.
This is the one she will watch.
She's your mother-in-law, do you know what I mean? Shall I be nice or...
Absolutely.
No, it's brilliant. No. Yeah, we have... I'm sure there's lots of mother-in-laws like the show, you know. It's quite well watched. You know,
I told her I was speaking to. I said I'm speaking to John Morrison a few nights. She's like, "Oh, Kenny." Yeah. Oh, it's just funny. So, we'll speak a wee bit more once we stop the record button. There's a few wee kind of things to kind of run past your ears, but just to kind of summarize how this is going, looking back on the show, you've done a lot of stuff over the years. There's no denying that. Between your stage work and your on screen stuff, how would you rate High Times itself in that whole range of stuff that you've done? It's
dead easy. It's the most fun thing I've ever done. Wow. And I was really disappointed that it didn't continue, because it was great fun to do.
So if tomorrow
I've worked with a lot of writers and stuff, you know what I mean? Peter McDougall and Willie Russell, Steve Polyakov, Trevor Preston, Trevor Griffiths, these are all really, really good writers, you know. But I've had the most fun working with John Rooney.
So if he called you tomorrow then and said there's going to be a season 3, you would jump at the chance, right?
He knows I'd be Rooney's sis tomorrow.
Rooney's sis.
Rooney's sis.
Rooney's sis tomorrow. Sure, I will.
That's good.
Oh,
that's good.
Man. Well,
of course, a little short, yeah.
It's nice to hear that. It's something that... We'd all love to see it, John. And it's, I don't know. Watch this space. We'll see how we get on.
It would be interesting to see just how Eddie and Alice are getting on all these years later, right? You know, I mean,
it would be an insight. Do you know what I mean? It would be a good insight, and John would do it brilliantly. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Given half a chance.
Mm-hmm. Of course, no doubt about it.
I've just got all these images in my mind right now, just what it could all be. But what we've got at the minute is season. I keep saying season, John. It does my head in. It's a series. Series one, series two. This season, shite came for America, right? But series one and series two. That's what we've got now. And it's some of the best, if not the best, TV that I've seen in a long, long time. And sure. I stopped watching Breaking Bad because I got bored, right?
Okay then. Okay. Right?
So yeah, goodbye, well, goodbye. Any chance of getting anybody for Breaking Bad on here? But high times for me is it's up there, and it's going to be in my collection for a long, long time. And thanks for being a part of it. It was fucking magical.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolute pleasure, guys. Absolute pleasure. You know, good luck with all the stuff you're doing. You know.
Well, aye, absolutely. We're just going to keep pushing forward and see where that takes us. But I have a feeling it will take us somewhere that we all want to go, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Amen.
Yes. Ah, you've said it too soon. Good. Thanks, John, for coming on the show. It's been an absolute blast. And like I said, if you just hang around for a few minutes after we stop recording, let's see where the conversation takes us. So,
okay. Yep.
This John Morrison. Thanks for your time. It's been an absolute blast. You're a legend, man. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You should come back on at another point as well, just to talk about non-High Times related stuff and see where that goes, right? We'll talk music.
You're a glutton for punishment, you are, Luke.
Always. Thanks again.
Yeah, John. No worries. Yeah.
Thank you, John. Super.
Cheers, boys.
Brilliant.
Cheers. Thanks again, everybody, for listening to this episode. Huge thanks to John Morrison for coming on, giving us his time. What a guy, and what a very talented musician as well. You can check all his stuff out on YouTube. Please remember to leave a review if you enjoyed this episode. Hit subscribe and just kind of keep up with what's going on. We've been loving doing these High Times mini-series episodes, and we hope you just enjoy listening to them as much as we enjoy putting them together. So next week we will be speaking to Alison Peebles, and she played Alice, Eddie's wife. So make sure you hit that subscribe button and make sure you join us again next week. Take it easy, guys.
Wide a happy ever afters and never seem to last.